T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I love Tibbs. I love Tibbs. But Tibbs is very smart. Tibbs is very smart. So I think sometimes he hears what he wants to hear. We got Tibbs. Look, here's Tibbs. Jimmy wants to play for Tibbs. They're guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can't sit here and say that it's always in my best interest, because he worked for the organization as well.
Something about that Tibbs laugh that really amuses me. That is obviously the voice of Jimmy Butler. He is...
That's raw me.
Yeah, he is the NBA superstar gone bad. Is that what we're calling him? He's the guy trying to get himself out of Minnesota. He's the former Bull star that they traded for multiple things. And, you know, I got to tell you, I got a lot of time for Jimmy. He's really made himself into a player from a guy. I remember he came in here one morning. I think we were upstairs in the on the 12th floor in those days. And, you know, Jimmy came in and did our show, and is a guy that was willing to do anything when he first got to town, was very anxious to be out publicly, and really worked hard to make himself into a player. He was more of a defensive specialist that became a pretty good NBA player, and obviously wants to be paid like a pretty good NBA player. I think really where this comes from, David, in a lot of ways, is, you know, everybody in the NBA knows what they make and they know what other people make. And I think that, you know, Karl Anthony Towns makes a lot of money,
but he was given a chance to make a lot of money. The Timberwolves would be willing to entertain the idea of signing Jimmy Butler to a long-term contract.
Right.
Jimmy Butler's not interested in staying in the Minneapolis market. Jimmy Butler is not interested in staying in that market because he's Jimmy Butler and his ego is oversized. And he may be charming, and he may impress people like he did you, or like he does. He can one-on-one. He does great interviews. I mean, yesterday's whole thing was contrived. You know, he has to go out and prove he's a tough guy, back up his reputation. And then, oh, by the way, Rachel Nichols and an ESPN crew were waiting after practice to talk about my performance
earlier. He brought his own crew.
It was totally
a staged performance.
It was a staged performance, and it was – definitely Jimmy about Jimmy. This isn't about him being an ultimate competitor. You give him credit for making himself into a top 20 NBA player. No question about it. He bided his time at the end of Tom Thibodeau's bench with the Bulls as a rookie. I give him credit for that. When he got paid, he changed. He's a different guy. He's divisive. And there are reports yesterday. You know, Sean Devaney's reported, respected from the Sporting News.
Sure. Long time.
He says that. In light of the news, he tweets out, I'll remind NBA that NBA execs say teams like the Clippers and the Nets, two of the teams that Jimmy wanted to be traded to, they're wary of trading for Jimmy Butler because, as one GM said, quote, everywhere he goes, it becomes about Jimmy. And that's the problem. The biggest issue.
Yeah, and I agree with a lot of that, David, and I agree with the idea that that Jimmy maybe at some level thinks he's being a leader. Maybe he thinks he's doing something for the good of humankind, not just for the good of Jimmy, when in reality it's selfish behavior and it's about Jimmy and all that. I get all that. I'm just telling you that you're talking about a league where one guy can make a huge difference. It's a five-man game, and if you have a really good player, you got a chance. If you're relying on a bunch of guys to get together, it's just the Bulls need more. If Jimmy were available, and he is available, I would totally. I think it's just part of your due diligence to throw out a word.
Heck
to,
no.
To be interested. I know you Heck want no part no. of him, but you could.
Good enough on his own to be the best player on a championship team?
Probably not. No.
Okay. So that's
but
the answer to your question.
But he could be the second best player.
No, because he'll never be happy being the second best anything.
How many players in the league, though, are outside of LeBron and KD, maybe, are you know that level?
Yeah. There's not. There's less than a handful of players.
That's a good point, but most players accept the fact that they're not LeBron or KD, and Jimmy Butler thinks that he's those two guys wrapped up in one. I just don't see how revisiting that idea makes any sense.
It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen, and you're right. It you know, they wouldn't do it, the first of all. The Bulls wouldn't want any part of it. All I'm saying is I think Jimmy has value, and I think he's hurt his value. They were very close to a trade with Miami, supposedly, for Jimmy, and that fell apart. So Jimmy has nowhere else to go, and he's come back now, and then he hits free agency. Maybe he's in for a rude awakening. Maybe things aren't going to work out the way that he envisions them. Maybe he couldn't force the trade that he wanted, and he can't get to the place he wants to go. And yeah, there's like 1,000 possibilities. But having said that, I'm telling you that Jimmy is a guy that breaks his hump when he's on the floor, and he plays both ways. He plays defense, and he you know, can score 50 points in a game. That's probably not ideal for most teams. I'm not arguing that, David, but I think that Jimmy can play. And I think guys that can play have a place in the NBA. And we've certainly seen
but I'm not
bad
disputing that. I'm not disputing that. He is definitely one of the top 20 players in the league. And when he left the Bulls, he was one of the top 20 players in the league. It's not about that. It's not about what he's made himself into on the court. It's the off-the-court stuff that makes it difficult to create an environment that's conducive to winning.
Like, what off? It's not – Jimmy hadn't been arrested. He hadn't been – it's not like there's –
You don't have to be arrested to be a problem in the locker room.
But that's the NBA. The NBA is managing personalities. You know, Phil Jackson, his great skill –
But let me ask you this.
Wasn't winning.
Exactly.
His great skill was getting people to play their role around Michael Jordan. That was it.
Who knows Jimmy Butler? What coach in the NBA knows Jimmy Butler better than Tom Thibodeau? Nobody.
Yeah, nobody. Nobody.
He has everything that is conducive to a winning environment right now. He has young players that provide a core. He has a comfortable coach. Yeah, Anthony Towns is a very good player.
I agree. But
Andrew Wiggins is a guy.
But by all accounts, neither of those guys are working as hard as they could. And he probably sees that, and they're paid more than him.
They're paid more than him because he chose not to sign an extension. They're paid more than him because he made a conscious decision not to commit long-term to that franchise. He created the situation that he's now objecting to. So he's never going to be happy.
No, he's not.
And I get it.
He's never going to be happy there, for sure. Right.
And so I would object to the idea that he makes you automatically better. He does when you're for 48 minutes a night, perhaps. But I just don't know that as an organization you want to invest as much money as it's going to take to keep him in your organization going forward, because he's a problem. And if he's not now, he's going to be later.
Anthony Davis apparently is interested in moving out of New Orleans. And the teams he's interested in going to are...
Reportedly,
the Lakers.
Yeah.
The Knicks.
Right.
The Boston Celtics. And there's one other... There's four teams. Who's the
Sixers.
One other one? The Sixers. That's it. So he's interested in going to those four teams. So the idea then would be that if he doesn't go to one of those four teams, he's not going to be there very long. So if you're interested in making a deal for him, you better make sure that you're going to be able to sign him. Anthony Davis is from Chicago.
Right.
Anthony Davis is one of the top five players in the NBA. Anthony Davis
without question.
Is a guy that could be the top player on a championship
without
team.
Question.
If you had a chance, you know, to sell the hometown thing to him.
Oh gosh.
Wouldn't you want to do
yes.
that? Shouldn't they try to do that?
That's a totally different discussion.
But I'm saying
I'm all in.
It's not really, because what we're talking about is who's the best player on the Bulls? How many? You can't win a title without upgrading the talent.
No
level.
Doubt. You can't make the comparison between what Jimmy Butler would do to your franchise and what Anthony Davis would do to your franchise.
I'm just saying.
One is
be
toxic.
In acquiring mode.
Yeah, well,
be in a mode
that is a different direction for the conversation to take, because I'm with you. You have to be aggressive if you're the Bulls, talking seriously about winning a championship. But to revisit the past, you're going to run into things. You've already learned that lesson, and you've already plateaued with Jimmy Butler. You don't want those headaches. He's going to be somebody that you can't trust in your organization if you're the Bulls, because you couldn't trust him the first time.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. You're listening to Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
You're going to get the best version of me no matter what.
Okay.
Whoever I suit up for, you're going to get the best version. I'm going to do my job. But with that being said, don't act like you care about me as a person. Just don't do it. Just tell me, you go out there and play basketball, because that's what I feel like is happening. Just go play. Be quiet. Don't say anything. Just go play. Say less. I get it. Mm-hmm. Go out there. I'm going to play my role.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. That is the voice of Jimmy Butler. And, I got to tell you, I
you
do believe...
You effing need me.
Yes, but I do believe that he... that he's sincere about that.
Sincere about what?
About the fact that he breaks his hump every time he goes out.
No doubt about that. You can't question that. You don't ever.
And I can't help but guys like that. I can't help but like guys like that. I hear what you're saying. He's a problem. He's you effing need me and all that stuff. I get it. I get that that's a huge distraction. I also think for a young team with talented players that don't understand how hard it takes, how hard you have to work to be the best you can be. I mean, they got talented players that haven't made themselves the best they can be. Say whatever you want about Jimmy Butler. He has taken what talent he has and absolutely
Here's what bothers me, though. I can't get past this. It seems patently hypocritical for a guy who's criticizing, implying that, the other guys around him don't want to be there and aren't as committed as he is. And he is a try-hard guy. But you're not committed to that organization. So he's criticizing guys for their commitment when he's not committed to the Timberwolves, and he never has been. And, it's sort of a phony facade to me for him to show up and to put this act on, show the tough guy routine and go out and be competitor and beat the first team at practice and, stage this holdout. And then, by the way, there's my ESPN crew outside that I'm going to talk to. That seemed very contrived to me. It didn't seem genuine, authentic. It didn't seem like – it seemed Hollywood, and Jimmy's gone Hollywood.
312-644-6767. We'll start the conversation with Teddy B. He's in Hyde Park. Hey, Teddy.
Hey, Teddy.
Hey, how you doing, man? I couldn't disagree more on the Jimmy Butler one with his contract. He turned down the extension because anybody would have. By signing this year, he could only get 4 years and like $140 million. So he turned it down because next year he can get 5 years and $190 million. His whole thing about the other guys on that team and why he rides Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins so hard is because they don't try hard. You saw when Jimmy got hurt the second half of the season last year, they went from the third seed to basically almost not making the playoffs because Jimmy wasn't there. You got two guys in Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins who were both former number one overall picks, both have stats, and both have absolutely no ability to win any games. You take Jimmy Butler off that team, they're not even a playoff team. So don't tell me about what those guys are, because what Jimmy also said in the interview, Jimmy said, talent-wise, I am the third best player on this team. Carl Anthony Towns is the best player, and Andrew Wiggins has the most ability. He's pissed off because he wants to win, and those guys are just out there worried about highlights.
Well, Teddy, if he wants to win so bad, why isn't he in practice from day one and staying there? Why did he leave?
Because contract-wise, the best move that Jimmy can make for himself right now is to hold out and to try to force a trade to a situation with some guys that are actually trying to win a championship.
Oh, like the Nets?
Still in his championship window.
Like the
and
Nets?
The only way he can do that,
the Clippers?
Way he can do that is to force a trade now, because if he waits until he's in free agency next year, he can only get $140 million. He can only take the $190 million from the team that he is with. And he doesn't want to be with those two dudes who ain't trying to win. Jimmy's trying to win. That was his problem in Chicago. Why did Jimmy become a problem?
Thanks, Teddy.
Because Fred Hoiberg was an idiot at the time. That's why Jimmy became a problem.
Don't need to be name calling
right,
now.
Thanks, Teddy.
Jimmy wants to win so bad he wants to go to those proven championship contenders, the Nets and the Clippers.
Listen, Here's the thing, David, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's a secret agreement among guys in the league that they're all going to get together at one of those teams, but who knows? There could be a secret agreement around the league where those guys are going to get together
Kyrie
at one
Irving
of those teams.
Just said publicly that he's going to re-sign with the Celtics.
Yeah, he said that.
That is true.
Did he? Let's try Brian. He's in Lombard. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey guys. How you doing? Listen, I love the 5 at 5. It pisses me off, but it also makes me laugh. Number one, what I need to say is, let's give the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky some credit.
Sure.
They beat the hell out of an NFL team, and I'm tired of hearing certain guys on the panel saying how horrible Tampa Bay was. If I'm not mistaken, they were 2-1 going into that game. Granted, they had a couple injuries, but the Bears beat the hell out of them. Let's give them some credit. Number two, David Ross. I'd love to see David Ross come on and be that manager in waiting, and I don't think Joe Maddon would really care. The guy will be 68, 69 if he signs a 3-year extension. I think Joe is going to sail off into the sunset and take his money. And number three, Mully, you covered the Bulls, and you know a heck of a lot more than I do about the NBA. I don't see where people think that Jimmy Butler is this superstar. I think his ego is enormous, and he does not care about winning. It's all about making money, and that's just my opinion.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for taking
all right,
my
buddy.
Call, guys.
Thank
calls.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. To answer that, I don't know that Jimmy is all about winning, and he's not all about Jimmy. I know that when he is on the floor, Jimmy is all about playing his behind off, and that is what I value. That's what I value. I like when guys play hard. Let's squeeze in Tyler. He's in Romeoville.
Hey, Tyler.
Morning, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yep.
Just want to say, listen, I think if you look over the last 10 years for the Chicago Bulls, what big-time free agent has wanted to come here and play for this team? I mean, you talk about Carlos Boozer. He's not a big-time free agent. Pau Gasol. You bring in a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's a top 15, 20 player. Mm-hmm. Maybe these other stars would want to come play here and be with a guy who's has that dog mentality and brings the best out of the younger guys. I think, right? You talk about Laurie and the young guys we have. We need to get that playoff experience for them to compete at a higher level. And I think Jimmy Butler coming here would do that. I'll hang up. I'll listen to what you have to say.
Thanks, I don't
guys.
Know that
Thanks,
Jimmy
Tyler.
Butler fits the role of mentor for anybody. I don't think he brings out the best in young players. I think he would be almost the opposite effect. And you're seeing that in Minnesota. Do you think that he's creating an environment conducive to the growth of Andrew Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns?
It's interesting. We were talking earlier about, Anthony Davis, Joe, and Anthony Davis. One of the teams he listed was the Lakers. Yesterday or the day before, I can't remember when I read it. Again, they all cloud together the days. What are you going to do?
It
was Kevin Love who came out and said that basically it's not easy playing with LeBron. That playing with LeBron, you know, going in that you're going to be the second dog. You're going to be moment. And you know, this is one of the issues. I taped the game last night. I didn't stay up for a preseason NBA game, but I'm dying to see how Lonzo Ball shoots, what the difference is and that sort of thing. And I was thinking to myself, like, there's a kid that's now going to be playing with LeBron. And LeBron, Lonzo Ball and LeBron will get along fine as long as Lonzo is feeding the ball to LeBron when his shot is falling. When LeBron's shot isn't falling, LeBron wants the ball, and then he's going to attack the basket more. And then they're not going to get along as well. Or maybe, this kid can't shoot. It just seems like as much, you know, when LeBron is
the big ball away,
he's the best. And when he's on his game, it's, you know, it's never going to be LeBron's fault, but it's the supporting cast that's going to get blamed. So now we got the guys left over in Cleveland. It'll be very amusing to see if they could do anything because they couldn't do anything without him. And now here you are in L.A. with some talented young guys. Can they do anything? Will they make any kind of noise at all in the Western Conference? I'm very curious to see it because I think they're going to be pretty damn good.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Tough to play with superstars, right? Isn't that always the case? And I'm not putting Jimmy Butler in that conversation, but, I mean, that's what we would say about MJ. They're never pleased. Was he easy to play with Kobe Bryant?
No.
Their teammates would say, well, absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying bring back Jimmy Butler, but...
As much as LeBron deferred, was it easy to play with LeBron?
I don't know that I'm ready to compare Jimmy Butler to LeBron James.
No. We're just talking about NBA superstars, yeah. And right. We're talking about destinations and where you want to go. And I think that these are the sorts of things that we need to consider. You don't want to talk about him as LeBron, but you do want to say that no one wants to go play with him. Who do you want to go play with?
Okay, with what?
Jose Altuve.
With what Butler did at practice yesterday. Wasn't he proven right? That these guys need to toughen up?
Yeah.
They need to step up? You need to be more like me?
I don't know.
You effing need me.
Scoreboard update.
Rachel worked at the Sun-Times, you know.
Did she really? Point,
yeah. She's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network college football analyst. NCAA. Mullion Hawes, college football expert.
Mullion Hawes, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Let's get to our guy, Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network analyst. Jerry, how are you this morning?
Hey, Jerry.
Very good. Good morning, guys.
It's fascinating to watch the Big Ten these days and to see yet another huge game for Michigan, a very important game for Michigan. You start talking about the job that Jim Harbaugh has done and the improvement of the offensive line and of the quarterback. And this begins a run here where they've got Wisconsin, Michigan State, a bye week, and Penn State, and that will determine their season. Beginning with Wisconsin, a big challenge. This will determine whether or not they end up having the kind of season that we thought they might. Really an important start for them and a big push.
Yeah, this is probably, we always do this, maybe the biggest game so far in Jim Harbaugh's program at Michigan. I mean, it's year four. We all know it's been 3-3-4 in the East Division. Wisconsin's not as good as predicted going into the season. They were beat by an average BYU team. It's at Michigan.
Right.
I mean, the thing lines up in such a way where if Michigan doesn't win the game, I think people start thinking maybe a little different than the patient way they've been thinking for the first 3 years.
You know, Jerry, I don't know what to make of Northwestern. I look at them, and if you eliminated September almost every year, it's a different team when the calendar flips to October for whatever reason. They did it again up at Michigan State. They go on the road. Clayton Thorson has one of those games, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns. They did not, they led at halftime. It got away from them, but they came back this time, and they win a game on the road that in a difficult environment against a ranked team. Now they have Nebraska coming home. It's one of those games you expect they should win, but you just don't. Do you trust this team moving forward?
Well, David, I think this is who they are. I mean, they've done this before. Every year we say they're going to challenge for the West, and I guess they actually could the way the season has turned out. This is who they are, I think. I mean, they're a team with good talent, not as talented as a lot of the teams in the conference. They lose some games they shouldn't lose, and then they win games they're not supposed to win. I do think, yes. I mean, the first two touchdowns by Northwestern, one was a just flat-out busted coverage by Michigan State that the three of us could have thrown a completion if we could reach the guy. He was so wide open. And the second one was a great throw by Thorson and a great catch in the man coverage. And so other than that, I think they had single-digit rushing. I mean, so they're still struggling. The only difference this year is that, they've had the injuries. Clayton was late and they lose Jackson and all that. But, has this not become fairly predictable? Oh, let me say this. Has this not become not surprising?
Right.
I mean, this is kind of who they are. They play really hard and they're solid and all that. They're just not the team that, after so many years in the West that would be knocking on the door to win the West. And yet we go into this weekend and theoretically they could win the West.
After the Northwestern victory over Michigan State, we're down to 4 ranked teams in the Big Ten, and it feels as if there is only one team, Ohio State, that you would say is going to be part of the football playoff at the end of the year. I'm very curious, Jerry, when you look at the overview of college football, if indeed Notre Dame, and they're through the meat of their schedule, if indeed they end up in the college playoff, and there is an argument to be made that if by the time they get there, they could have a better resume than Clemson, for instance. If indeed they get in, does that change the system? I know you're not a fan of expanding it, but if there are that many conferences left out, wouldn't it almost be inevitable that, that something would have to happen?
Yeah, I think along those lines, Molly, what could change it maybe to six, and you're right, I'm against it, but what could change it to six is if conference champions continue to be left out, right? If Ohio State doesn't get in. I mean, Ohio State clearly has the best path in the Big Ten. If Penn State wins out, they have a path. If Michigan wins out, they certainly have a path. I mean, if Michigan wins out, including the Big Ten championship, they're going to be in. Penn State, maybe not so much. Ohio State, yes, for sure. But you look at what's going on in the Pac-12 and the Big 12. You know, if this becomes a two SEC champion in two SEC teams in the four, and Notre Dame in the four, who's an independent, and then room for only one more conference, then I think you're going to see this thing change. You're probably going to see it go to six. We're part of the way you get in is to win your conference champion. I don't think they can continue to leave these conference champions out because the schedules aren't even. Not everyone's playing the same amount of games. Not everyone has the same amount of non-conference rules or conference rules. So if we continue to leave conference champions out and put two in from the ACC and one independent in, I think the thing might change.
So that leads you, a Notre Dame alum, to be cheering against the Irish if you don't want an expansion.
No, I don't know.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Maybe not.
Would you go to law school over the weekend?
This segment with Jerry DiNardo is brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. You know, Jerry, I wanted to compliment you. I thought that your pregame segment with Urban Meyer on the Big Ten Network Saturday was interesting. And your 100-yard walk that you do every week, which is really good stuff. And I watched that curiously, and I thought it was good stuff. And I wondered, because you were pretty candid when how Ohio State handled the domestic violence issue with Zach Smith, and I thought you were pretty honest. And I felt like, I wondered, as you were walking there, if Urban gave you any feedback on that. Was there any fallout that you had to address either before or after? And because I thought it was a real professionally done interview, and it was good stuff that you got out of him.
Well, thanks, David. That was a tough interview for me because of what I had said and what I feel. And if we could, I'd like to leave it at, we had a very, very, very honest conversation later in the day, a very private conversation where we both got to share a lot of things. And I'll leave it private because it would be unfair not to leave it private. But I have very strong feelings about what happened. I voiced them on the air. And I also had a very honest and frank conversation with Urban about how I felt. And I appreciate him not avoiding me after I was done with the walk, but getting together and allowing me to share my feelings.
Yeah,
so I appreciate everything you said, David. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I respect that because it was valuable information you got out of them during the walk. And it was, you know, Ohio State, then they go out and they take care of business. And this is a team that you guys talked about with the playoffs. They look like they're not going to get tested again until maybe Michigan. I mean, that quarterback had another great day.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me the most on the field, well, there's two things, the big plays on defense, but maybe even more, there's a run game. I mean, think about it. Dobbins' longest run against Indiana, which, by the way, guys, is one of the surprise teams of the country. I know no one pays all that much attention. But anyway, Dobbins had the longest run from scrimmage. Dobbins had was 9 yards. The longest run Weber had was 21 yards. I mean, these are two great running backs. But I got to tell you, now Indiana's very good on defense. We're better than I think most of us expected. So let's give Indiana credit. But Ohio State can't run the ball. And that is a problem. Not now, not the rest of the schedule. But when if they're four and Alabama's one and they're playing one another, like they did a few years back, you know, not having a run game is a problem. Or if Ohio State's 2 or 3 and matched up with Clemson. So, again, we say this at the network all the time. We look at Ohio State differently than we look at everybody else because we expect so much. So when we say their run game's not very good, you know, we're nitpicking because we always look at it through the eyes of being in the college football playoff.
It's not a dangerous game for them this week. Obviously, they're hosting one of the, three winless teams left in the conference in Minnesota. But it's, you know, you got to avoid feeling like it's a bye week, right? Because you know how good you are and you know how bad they are. It just seems like you just, not that they ever fall into these traps, but this is almost a trap game.
Right. But this is also old territory for Urban. He's been here in Florida. He's been here at Ohio State. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure he does a lot of different things, but this is one of Urban's strengths. So they very much may be watching more practice film this week as a staff and as a team than they're watching Minnesota tape. In other words, the focus is not Minnesota necessarily. It's ourselves. You know, where can we get better? What can we do? What's the practice tape look like? Usually you're splitting your time because you only have a certain amount of time by NCAA rule. And the kids now, they watch every game on their tablets and all that. So they can find out how good or how bad Minnesota is. And I think we know which they're trying to find out. So it's up to the coaches to take the emphasis off of the opponent, bring it back to ourselves. Why aren't we running the ball better, guys? Why can't we do it? It's not about, hey, with Minnesota when it's second and one, you know, and if strong safety's creeping up, they're going to be in man coverage. The heck with all that stuff. Let's just make sure we block and we throw and we catch. And I think that's the way these coaches like Urban try to avoid these letdowns in weeks like today.
Real quick,
like this week.
Before we let you go, Jerry, Illinois ends its 13-game Big Ten losing streak. They get a great game out of A.J. Bush. Purdue this week. What do you think?
You know, I love this game just schematically because I love the science of the game. But, you know, Brown would throw it every down if he had to, and I think Illinois will run it every down if they had to. I got to tell you, David and Molly, I mean, I'm hanging in there with Illinois. I mean, I think this Rod Smith has changed that program. I give Lovey a lot of credit for hiring him. He's an NFL guy. He's a defensive guy. He had no offensive identity. Now he has an offensive identity. If their recruiting can get a little bit better, you know, I think it's going to be better in Champaign. I think Purdue will probably win this game. But anyone who's watching the tape, studying Illinois, they've been really bad. It was a train wreck when Lovey got there. They are getting better, and this is another chance to show that they're getting better. And they're not caught up with we're running the ball too much, the quarterback's running the ball. The heck with all that garbage when you're not any good. Well, you don't care what it looks like. You don't care if it's boring. You know, you care if you win when you go to Rutgers because it shows progress. And so this is another week for progress for both these programs. But I've been impressed with Illinois so far. I'm pulling for them.
Jerry, thanks a ton. Great catching up
with Jerry.
All right, see you guys. Thanks.
That's Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network analyst. And
good stuff.
A lot of good stuff there. And that you're right about that interview with Urban Meyer. That was really something.
Couldn't have been easy, but he pulled it off.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.